Good evening. I'd like to welcome everybody out to our Wednesday night services. I wanted to give thanks for this opportunity to speak to you this evening and the prayers on my behalf. This evening, I wanted to study with you about the saying, practice what you preach, and how we should be cautious about what we practice. This phrase is based on biblical principles, meaning that we should act and behave in the way we say that others should act and behave. Also meaning that we should do what we encourage others to do. Meaning that if we say to someone that they should show love in a difficult situation, but yet we result in anger in a similar or lesser situation, we are not practicing what we preach. As Christians, we should be teaching and telling others about the salvation found in God's wondrous design. We should be telling others that Christ died for our sins, granting us pardon of our every sin that we commit. We should also teach them about the eternal life found only in Christ Jesus. In telling others of this, we must also show these things through our actions and imitate Christ. For Christ did not come to this world professing God's plan and act foolishly. No, Christ came to this earth and practiced what he preached. In teaching others, we must be careful what we say. Words are one way of communicating to others how they may obtain eternal life. Corrupt communications will not only result in sin, but may lead others astray. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace on the hearers." In this verse, we should not let we should not let our words be hurtful towards others. Use good communication to be edifying towards others. Teach others that your words have the power to encourage. How does it feel to be in conversations that are using harsh words or criticizing others? Usually both participants' moods and feelings are being brought down and a sense of sadness covers them. But what about when a conversation uses uplifting and encouraging words? This can be used to lift others up out of a situation that they might be in. In practicing what we preach, we must be confident in the truth. Our beliefs can persuade others to follow after Christ, or they can cause others to sin. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16 says, "Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you." Both of these verses show encouragement from Paul, an encouragement to profess good words to others so that grace may fall upon the hearers and salvation might be obtained for you and others that hear you. In all that we profess, our words must be of truth. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, "Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." If we lie to others, then this brings conflict. And if there is conflict in the body of Christ, then it cannot stand. Deceitful speech only brings sin into our lives. Again, we can reference back to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, by not letting any corrupt word proceed out of our mouths. In teaching others about God and His Word, we must also remind ourselves that teaching is held to a higher standard that will receive stricter judgment. In James chapter 3, verse 1, saying, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." In teaching God's word, our whole way of life is an influence to others. James is writing to the new Christians about how important this responsibility is and how high of a standard it is held to. Other people's salvation lies within our hands in what we preach about. So what happens when we do not practice what we preach? In doing this, we not only call ourselves liars, but we also are no better than the scribes and Pharisees in the time of Christ. This is what Christ told his believers about the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23, verses 2 and 3, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do." Christ is saying here to follow the Pharisees and their teachings because they taught God's truth, but Christ also told them not to follow them in their ways, for they preached God's word, but did not live by it. They ended up practicing something other than what they preached. In doing this, Christ called the Pharisees hypocrites and vipers. So what if you were practicing one thing and preached another? How would you feel if your Savior called you a hypocrite or a pit of vipers? In practicing what we preach, we disobey God's will. We do not hold a true and personal relationship with Christ. We let sin creep in and make a barrier between Him and us. Our faith can begin to crumble if we allow our sin to creep in and corrupt what we know to be true. Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?" And then I will declare to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness," as said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23. Here, Christ is telling his followers about those who preached in his name and speak in the truth, but did not live by it. They will inevitably be casted away from Christ, never to have that home in heaven. So what should we be practicing in our walk here on earth? First, we must have and show faith in our lives. Faith is defined in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, as the substance of something hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is knowing that Christ came to this earth to die for our sins. But without works, our faith becomes pointless. In James chapter 2, verse 26 says, "For the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." In having a strong faith, this will essentially lead us to do good works. Though good works do not earn us salvation, they lead us to have assurance in God and His promises. We are standing on the promises of God and living our lives in faithful servitude to Him. In practicing what we preach, we must stand firm on those promises and help lead others to that same conviction. Second, we should not let bad influences corrupt us. We should not let those who we associate with influence us to go against God's will. Paul tells us about this in his first letter to the Corinthian church in chapter 15, verses 33 and 34, saying, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." In this verse, Paul is not telling us to completely avoid those who are not in the faith, but to be cautious of who we are spending time with. In practicing what we preach, we must be cautious who we spend our time with and not let bad influences corrupt our godly actions. Third, we should stay humble in all that we do. Being boastful is not a Christian attribute to have. It does not demonstrate God's love to those around us, for Christ tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, saying, Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men, to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven." In this verse, Christ is teaching about those who give to the needy, those who through selfish gain would rather do those good deeds in front of others so that they may have glory from men. In practicing what we preach, bring glory to God, bring God the glory that He may shine through us. Christ also told His disciples about walking in the light. In John chapter 12, verses 35 through 36, saying, "Then Jesus said to them, 'A little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of the light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. If you find yourself in a dark room and the singular light is in the room, do you find yourself staring at the darkness or the light? The light allows us to see where we are and where we are going. Christ is the light pointing the way that we must follow. If we walk in his light, we will become the sons of light, as said in verse 36. Only then are we able to let Christ's light shine through us, helping guide those who are lost in that dark room. Lastly, we should be practicing being doers of the word and not just hearers. In James chapter 1, James is telling the first century Christians, hearing the word is only part of what we should be doing with it. In James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25, saying, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." If we study the scriptures of God, we must let it mold our lives. Listening to God's word and not letting it change us is another way of not practicing what we are supposed to preach and teach about. God's word is here to change us for the better. By obeying his word and his will, we become better Christians. Through this change for the better, our behavior and actions will follow what we hear through God's word. Preaching God's word to others comes with great responsibility. As we talked about in James chapter 3, it is held to a higher standard in judgment. If we are preaching God's word, we must live by it. By being hearers and doers of the word, we start to change our attitudes and actions to follow what we are preaching. We become stronger in our faith, leaning on God for help and guidance through our lives. We must not let distractions come between us and God. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, saying, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon. In practicing what we preach, we must not serve two masters. God is our holy master, whom we praise and bring glory to in this physical life and the next. Any other thing that we serve here on earth will bring sin into our lives, distracting from what we should be focusing on. In practicing what we preach, others will see how we place our priorities in our lives. If we are more focused on earthly things, our thoughts and actions will not resemble what God wants us to be. The heavenly reward is much greater than what this earth can ever provide. For if we practice what we preach, following after righteousness, mercy, we will reap what we sow. In Proverbs chapter 21, verse 21 says, He who follows righteousness and mercy finds life, righteousness, and honor. In closing, I'd like to thank you all for attending this evening's services. I pray that you can take from this study the importance of practicing what you preach, for we will all be judged for our actions in this life. The church stands ready to serve those who would like to follow after the faith and be baptized tonight. And to those who may be struggling, we would like to offer a place on the front row as we stand and sing the invitation song.